The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker, this community of Jesus apprentices that are trying to live the life of Jesus, trying to learn how to love and serve like Jesus. I'm so glad that you have joined us today. We are starting our 12th week. That's right, we have been together for 11 weeks and now we're starting our 12th week. And I'm so blessed to have you here on this journey, this transformational journey, to be more like Jesus. And in order for us to be more like Jesus, we must follow the model for Jesus apprentices. And the model for Jesus apprentices is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the only way we'll be able to be more like Jesus. Loving God, loving your neighbor, and loving yourselves. And the only way for us to accomplish that is through a daily surrender to Jesus Christ. Well, we are on our 12th week. And that means we have a new Bible verse to memorize for this week. Every week we choose a Bible verse from the portion that we'll be reading on that week. And we make that Bible verse as a Bible verse to be memorized. And the Bible verse for today is a Bible verse, or for this week, is a Bible verse that we have read about, at least the last week. But today, or this week, became our Bible verse. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. That is the key principle of what we're studying, the portion that we're studying this week, and was the base for last week as well. And I think on Friday, we'll be studying specifically Luke 6:36, our Bible verse to memorize, where we see a theology of the imitatio Dei, of the imitation of God, right? We were created according to the image of God and likeness of God, the imago Dei, so we could imitatio Dei, so we could imitate God. And well, we'll focus that. But it's only through the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are able to imitate God, to be merciful like He is. So we need to seek the Holy Spirit. We need to claim God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to see understanding, to understand spiritual matters. Paul is very clear. The flesh, the way we do things, the way of this world, cannot understand the spiritual aspects, cannot understand the kingdom of God, cannot grasp the values of the kingdom. And it is sad to say, but not everyone that attends church, that has a position in church, that is involved in church, is a spiritual person. I wish both things would go side by side. Being a member of church, attending church, and being a spiritual person. No, unfortunately, that's not the case. That would be the ideal. And to be a spiritual person, you need to die for yourself and seek God and His direction in a daily basis so you can be connected to God and understand the ways of God. So we need the Holy Spirit to become spiritual people, so we can see the spiritual matters. We need the Holy Spirit not just to see, but to apply it in our lives. It's only through the Holy Spirit. So we need to come before God every single day, clamoring for the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit that was had empowered Jesus to proclaim the message that we are studying today, the message of the Sermon of the Plain, what is equivalent to the Sermon of the Mountain of Matthew. Is the Holy Spirit that empowered Jesus to give, to deliver that message, and it is the Holy Spirit that empowers us to understand. And more important than to understand is to live out and apply it. So I want to give you some time, a time you can come before God, a time where we'll claim the promise of Hebrews 4:16, where we read, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most." Is based on this promise that we come before God, asking His power, His grace, His mercy for our lives, for our study today, and for the transformation that must take place in our lives. So I want to give you 1 minute, 1 minute for you to consider, 1 minute for you to pray, 1 minute for you to position yourself before the throne of God, so you can receive His blessings, His love, His grace, His mercy, and the Holy Spirit, so we can have the means to understand God's word and to apply it. So take this minute to connect with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this opportunity that we have to come together as a community. Community of apprentices of Jesus. Where we want to learn from You. Where we want to be strengthened by You. Where we want to be healed, forgiven, touched by You. So, Lord, bless everyone that is listening to my voice. Lord, give us the Holy Spirit so we can understand the spiritual matters and we can apply those spiritual matters in our lives. Forgive our sins, Lord, and be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are studying the Sermon of the Plain. What is equivalent to the Sermon of the Mountain of Matthew 5, 6, 7. And the Sermon of the Plain is Jesus' presentation about the kingdom, the values of the kingdom, the principles of the kingdom, where we see the king of this kingdom and his rulership. And his kingdom reflects who he is. In my humble opinion, the Sermon of the Plain talks more about who God is than anything else. And how are the principles and what are the principles and values of his kingdom and the values and principles that everyone that submits to Jesus as the king supposed to live like. This kingdom is overwhelming generosity. There's generosity, a generosity of love, grace, and mercy. Because our King is merciful, is graceful, his love. And since we were created according to the image of God, into his likeness, we were supposed to reflect this love, this generosity, this compassion. Interesting. And I want to make this point one more time. And maybe I need to be more clear if I'm not have been so. There is a typology here between the Sermon of the Plain with the Ten Commandments and the orientations from God from the book of Exodus. You see, the people of Israel entered the experience of the water crossing the Red Sea, then faced the desert, had experienced the desert. Then they reached the point, the experience at the mountain, at the mountain Sinai, where Moses, the main prophet, goes up, stays with God, comes down, and presents God's will and desire to his people. And among what Moses brought to the people was the Ten Commandments. But Moses had a promise that we see in Deuteronomy, that after him would come a better and stronger prophet coming from God, and would give the true directions, the true will and desires of God. What we see? Jesus going through the experience of the water in the baptism, going through the wilderness, now going to the mountain and staying with God in the mountain and coming down and presenting God's will. If it's not clear, my belief is that the Sermon of the Mountain is the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, you name it, of the kingdom of God. An enlarged and expanded version of God's will and desire for us. Why he said in different ways or words in Exodus 20 per se, different from here. Well, maybe one day we can talk about that. But God spoke back that then on Exodus, the way the people there would understand, that they could relate, they could grasp. So we need to understand the culture so we can understand how God spoke to them, because God was making himself understandable to them based on what they understood at the time. So the simplistic view, understanding, or the description there is simple in a sense, because that was what they are used to. Here, Jesus elaborate more, because people who are more developed in a sense that can handle and understand better some concepts. But it's interesting that we focus so much on what Exodus says, in specific Exodus 20, because it's so much easier to keep a few laws, do not lie. Okay, yeah, that's easy. Then to follow what Jesus said here in the Sermon of the Mountain. And what I can tell you, if you keep the Ten Commandments, the letter of the law, but if you don't keep what is written here in Luke chapter 6, you're not keeping the law of God. So for me, if there's any doubts, I am making clear today, for my understanding, my humble opinion, the curriculum, the Sermon of the Mountain, the Sermon of the Plain, is God's will and desire and laws for his people, reflecting who God is, because his laws reflect who he is. It's a presentation, a display of his character, and his character is a lavishing love character, merciful. And that is everything. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Because He's loving, and His kingdom is a loving kingdom, we should show this love to other people. And here, Jesus, He goes to the edge area, let's put it in that way. So if God has this kingdom that had a different understand who God is, a different understand of who is each person, like children of God, right? No matter what they believe, they behave, they are children of God. They were created according to the image and likeness of God. What kind of community should we live? This community of love, this community of mercy, this community of grace. And Jesus goes to what for human beings would be the most challenging aspect, to show love to our enemies. And enemies, here we have at least two main ideas. The first is what the word enemy has, right? Those that, according here, that hate you, exclude you, mock you, and curse you. That is described as enemy, someone that is opposed to you. But enemy here applies as well for those that they are not like you. They are not part of your way of life, of your club. People that don't think like you, and people that don't behave like you. So how should we deal on this new understanding of God, His kingdom, and His way with people that are opposed to us or don't look like us? And Jesus went there. He said, you must love like the Father loves them. And it's a challenge. It's not easy. But just show how loving, how merciful and gracious is God's kingdom. Because God His love, His mercy, and His grace. And based on that, we have seen Jesus saying, love your enemies, do good, bless them, pray for them. After those four directive explanations, imperatives, what's supposed to do, God in Jesus Christ presents four examples on how that applies on the daily aspects. And last Friday, we studied about verse 29. If someone slaps on a check, or someone demands your coat, what are you supposed to do? Real example for their time, their lives. And if for some reason you have missed that, I encourage you to visit our website, therescueworker.com, and visit our archives that are available on YouTube, Facebook, or in podcasts, so you can listen to that. And today we're studying the next two examples. So we have four imperatives, right? Love, do good, bless, pray. Then he gives four examples. And then he summarizes the idea, what we will be studying tomorrow. And then he starts a new argument, a new topic based on love the enemies. And that we study on Wednesday. Okay, so we'll build up and we will continue. But today we're studying those two examples, that the last two examples that Jesus gave on the Sermon of the Plain. And I'll be reading verse 30. So Luke chapter 6, verse 30 of the New Living Translation. Give to anyone who asks, and when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. On this new community, where we're brothers and sisters, because of mercy, we give abundantly without waiting to receive back. Let me try to exemplify here. And remember, let's keep in context. Jesus talked about enemy. Those that hate you, exclude you, mock you, and curse you, okay, and lie about you. And those that are different, don't think like you, don't behave like you. So let's say you have someone that have been bad-mouthed you, someone that is attempting to your character, and you are aware of that. And now this person approaches you to ask something from you. Let's say this person that has a way of life that you don't agree. This person that doesn't think like you and see the world the same way you see it. And this person asks you something. Usually, how you react? Well, we don't want to support them. We don't want to help them. Well, they don't think like me. They don't behave like me. Well, they hate me. No way. I'm not help. I'll show this person that this person is what is their behavior, their way of life, their attitude. I'm not pleased and I'm not against. I'm not giving to you. I'm not listening to you. If I possible, I'll take some privileges from you so you can understand that I displease you, right? What I'm trying to describe here is our natural attitude. It's what I usually come to me. How sometimes it's a way I want to function, act, right? That's the way of the world. But as we live according to the kingdom, as we understand who Jesus is and how merciful we are and who are the other people, they are not those that are different from us. They are the image and likeness of God. They are child of God. And our mercy and grace must overflow. Mercy, giving something that someone don't deserve. Don't give what they deserve, in a sense. What God is saying, if that person asks you, and anyone, give. You know, it's a hyperbolic expression and discourse of Jesus. I don't want to go technicity here of the text, the structure. Yes, Jesus put us at the edge of the teaching to make a point. You give because God gave. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You give. And you give in a way that the Bible says, don't expect, don't try to get them back. The second aspect here is, you know, when, let's say, someone that hate us, exclude us, or whatever, and or even is different from us, asks us something, we feel the need of maybe teach them a lesson. Okay, let me give you a lesson. Let me teach my way. I hope you get what you're supposed to do, right? That's how humans usually do. But God's saying, just give. But usually when people give, they usually expect back. Okay, I'm doing this for this person. At least this person will do something for me. Even though we gave a gift of love for your heart, usually we have the expectation that that person will be so appreciated that they would somehow change their behavior. So you expect something even back for them, from them. I remember I was reading a book some time ago, and I didn't finish that book. I couldn't. I was not able to grasp and move beyond the main idea of the book. And the book was about persuasion. So how to convey your ideas and your thoughts so other people can understand and maybe accept them. So I said, oh, I think that would be good as a pastor, right? I'm teaching the Bible. Maybe I need to increase my skills. And I do believe that I need to, but not the way that author was proposing. So the main idea was, if you want to be persuasive, you need to do good as much as you can. Do good as much as you can for people. And think like banks. You're giving, you're loaning good to these people. And now, in the future, you can claim back. But pay attention to what you gave to each person and make sure when we ask back, you know exactly what you ask. Don't burn bridges, right? Give and then expect back. And use that for your gain, to make your, to accomplish your goals. And I tell you, that didn't resonate well with me, the main idea of the book. For sure, he didn't say that way, but that was my interpretation. So make a list. He said, even make a journal and say, oh, I gave that person, so I know one day I can ask something back from that person, right? This quote. And what Jesus say, as you love, just love. Don't expect anything back. Don't use that. Yes, I gave it to you. Now, at least, you need to do this for me. It's an exchange. And you need to stop saying that about me. You need to stop that behavior. That's the condition for you to give, for me to give. Jesus saying, don't expect nothing back. And in my life, and that has been my reality, and I wish that was not true, but the people that I help the most usually are the people that hurt me the most. The most you give, I don't know why, is the people that will hurt you more. But here's the point. In God's kingdom, you give. You don't expect back. You give not because you want to change that person, teach that person a lesson. You give because God gave. Gave without expecting anything back. And that's the way Christians, the apprentice of Jesus, should live. Is that easy? No. At least for me, it's difficult. Do I get right? No. But more and more, as we spend the time with the kingdom, studying the kingdom, God, I understand what I'm supposed to do if I'm really a follower of Jesus Christ. You need to stop the cycle. Take a breath and say, okay, Lord, help me here. I don't want to behave that way. I want to give. I don't want to expect nothing back. And I want to give. And don't expect nothing back. Even if I'm giving to those that are hating me, excluding me, mocking me, and as the Bible says, cursing me. I want to give and not expect back. I want to give to those that don't think like me. In any aspect, theologically, in a way of life, ways to see things and aspects, I want to give to them. I want to give to them, to those that don't behave like me, don't have the same principles. And I don't want to expect nothing back. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason Jesus says, daily we need to die for ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. That's it, what it means to be an apprentice of Jesus. It's dying for ourselves. It's carrying something that is not easy. It's go against your nature and follow the way of Jesus. The following the way of God. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Are you giving? Are you giving without expecting nothing back? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. And help us, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to see where we need to apply these principles. Help us, Lord, to go against the way of this world. Being the salt, being the light, make the difference. Presenting the kingdom of God right now. As we give abundantly without expecting anything back. Forgive our sins and help us to be more like God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to the questions for reflection, and here they are. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? And how can I share these lessons with others today? Well, tomorrow we'll continue our study by God's grace of the Sermon of the Plain. And I pray that somehow this study has been resonating with you, challenging you. It has been challenging me, has been pushing you to surrender. So through God, we can be transformed. May God be with you. And I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.